Good to be here again. Amen. How you all doing?
Amen.
Amen. Well, in 1 Corinthians 14:26, it says, "What then, brothers, whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, and so on. Let all things be done for building up." So this morning, I'm going to follow this this instruction. And so I have a psalm to offer. And I have also a little teaching to offer. So within the confines of about, 45 minutes, I hope I can do both. So, the psalm is a song I wrote recently. And I don't know what happened to me in these years. I start to like to write songs. And so, since the beginning of this year, because of the winter training, I think it was at that time that we touched something of the Lord's table in one of the offerings, especially the peace offering, I think. And I was very, very arrested by this, by the Lord's table and our practice of the Lord's table as the Lord has instructed us to do. And so, in a very simple way, I went back to the few passages, particularly in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There was actually not a record of the Lord establishing the table in the book of John. And looking at those accounts and being re-inspired and refreshed by what the Lord did, and more specifically, what the Lord said. And I have no time, nor is it my burden this morning, to get into all the significances of this table. But what the Lord spoke from his own mouth inspired me very, very much. And so I composed this little song. And I think if you like it, of course you can sing it. But if you don't like it and you don't sing it, don't worry, I won't be bothered. But I feel it is a very, very simple song that is not even with that much of a kind of a extra words, but really just taking the Lord's own words, and turning it into this this song is something that at the right time we could feel free to sing it, even at the Lord's table. You know, in the in Acts, in the first church in Jerusalem, amongst the many things that they did in that church, we know that they continued steadfastly in four things. Those four things, if you just read the footnotes, are of two pairs. The first two things are the apostles' teaching and fellowship. It says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship. Then it says, they also continue in two other things, and that is the breaking of bread and the prayers. Indicating that these two things, the breaking of bread and the prayers were the strong characteristics of the early church. Then later on in the same chapter, chapter 2, there's actually a description of the church life in a very dynamic fashion. And there it says, day to day and house to house, they gathered together and they broke bread. It says they broke bread. And they ate together with singleness of heart. They were praising God. They were having grace or favor with all the people. And the Lord added to them daily those that were being saved. So one can deduce from this simple record of the first church that it is quite likely, and the church historians, some actually believe this is the case, or say that this is the case, and that is the Christians in the early church, in the church in Jerusalem, actually broke bread on a daily basis. Not like us once a week, which actually even later on in Acts, the churches began to adopt that as their kind of a weekly schedule. So in the first day of the week, they would break bread. But in the earlier than that, in Jerusalem, very likely, literally, they broke bread every day. Now, today, if some saints in the home, they break bread on Tuesday morning, we would all frown on them. We will say, this is not what the recovery does. We don't do that. You should put away these things and wait until Sunday or Lord's Day to come to, what is this street, 19th Street, to the meeting hall. That's where we break bread. So you're doing it all wrong. Would you say that? I think the elders would be the first to show up and say, put that away. You have no right to do that. You come to the meeting hall, and we have our own kind of bread, and we have our own kind of whatever. You shouldn't do that. But that was not the case. Now, I'm here making a point, brothers and sisters, and that is the breaking of bread or the so-called Lord's table or Lord's Supper, that's the Paul's terms. Listen, was never a formality. It was never some kind of ceremonial memorial, you know what I mean? That later on, listen to me, through a process of degradation, like so many things, degradation, became finally what is known as the Eucharist. You know the Eucharist. This is a Catholic term to describe the Lord's table. And the gathering to celebrate the Eucharist is called the Mass. You know the Catholic Mass? You go there, and you have this so-called priest or father. What a blasphemy, huh? They're officiating this thing, you know, putting some kind of drink or wine, whatever, and this bread on this kind of altar place, kind of making it as a kind of offering. And then he was the only one to stand there and with these round wafers. Any Catholics here? this round wafer, and also some drink, right? And you line up. You line up, and you go before him. You just stick out your tongue, literally, and they put this piece on you, and then you retrieve your tongue, or you eat this thing, and then you give you something to drink, and then the next. Actually, I discover on YouTube a official lesson on how to do this. That means it teaches you when you go up there, you should not bow, you should not curtsy, you should not do this or that. This is the way to do it. So you have to follow the rules and you do it. This is the way you receive the elements. And they have all these other kind of heretical teaching. One is called the transubstantiation, where they actually believe that the cup, the wine that you drink, upon the blessing of the priest or something, became the actual blood of Christ, physically, materially. It's no longer some drink. It is the actual blood of Jesus. I mean, this is heretical, right? My point is the whole matter, and also all this is done as entirely in a ritualistic way. Entirely. So this is one of the deep things of Satan. If you read Revelation on the church in Thyatira, which is which speaks of the Catholic, the Roman Church. And then the Protestants are not much improved. They have what is called the Holy Communion. And today, in many of the state churches or these kind of national churches, their practice of this Holy Communion is not that different from the Catholic Church. You know, at Easter or at some once in a while occasion, they would do these things. Now, brothers and sisters, maybe now that I'm speaking on this, I'm going to give up my other burden. Forget about the other burden. I think this is my burden. And so I want to give you a simple lesson on the Lord's table. Amen. Not in a traditional way like the significance of the bread, the significance of the cup. You know all of that, and you have time for that. I'm very burdened these days, brothers and sisters, for a recovery of a genuine, dynamic, a return to a living remembrance of our Lord. Why I say this? Because it is not only in so-called Christendom, but I would say even in our midst, even in the Lord's recovery, it is very possible that the Lord's table have also become a ritual, something formal. Now, obviously, we don't have a priest here to put wafers on our tongue. We don't have one man officiating this thing. We gave up a lot of these religious trappings. Am I right? But that doesn't mean that we're fine. I remember I was a junior high, I got saved. And I was brought by my grandmother to the first Lord's table. And I absolutely don't know what is going on. And just some of few of these old folks sitting around and passing this bread and then this cup. And I still remember to this day the taste of it. And as a junior high, that's the only time I drank wine, you know. But it has always have an aura of mystic aura to me, you know. It's one of the few things where we actually handle physical things in our worship. You know, there are only a few, you know, in the New Testament, all the Old Testament types are over. And most of these types in the Old Testament related to Judaism are physical, earthly, and material in nature. Which means that in the New Testament, when all these things are past, everything is spiritual in the New Testament. Am I right? Even the Lord today is spiritual. He is a spirit. He's not visible. We don't live in that realm. But interestingly, there are a few things that the Lord has left for his church to do. That is physical. And one of them is this, with actually a physical bread and a physical cup. The other thing is baptism. It's actually this physical water that we put people into. You may say there are a few other things, such as secondary things. One is the laying on of hands. That's physical, right? And another one is head covering of the sisters. That is physical. But by and large, in the New Testament age, we are free from the physical. We are in the spiritual. And we are away from just the types because we're in the age of reality. And we all know this. But somehow, this Lord's table, as instituted by the Lord, has physical elements. And of course, only if we understand the meaning of these physical elements and the significances, we are just performing an outward physical ritual as well. So, and because we do it every week, and we do it in a certain way, and over time, often I have the feeling that even at these moments or at this occasion of the Lord's table, that many saints are here also somewhat in a formal way. I wouldn't say ritualistic, but I would say formal. And it just become a very common thing, you know, that we do this and then we do that. The only way, brothers, that we can avoid that is that all that we do here would be suffused with reality. In our understanding, in our appreciation, and even in our practice. So, I really ask myself that question, what if some saints broke bread on Wednesday morning? Jim? What are we going to do about it? Report them to the co-workers and get some Sabbath patrol going to arrest them and tell them, stop it. You cannot do that except at the meeting hall. What are we going to do? Now, obviously, I say this somewhat rhetorically, but not entirely. You see, this is what happened. In those days, you know, after the Lord instituted the Lord's table on the night of the Passover, which really means it is becoming a replacement of the Passover, he is the real lamb. Am I right? He is the real unleavened bread, right? And he is the one that was crucified on the cross. That means the slain lamb, and so on and so forth. So the Lord has become the replacement. This is our New Testament Passover, really. But the Lord says, do this in remembrance of me. The one purpose of gathering to break bread is to remember the Lord. There's no second purpose. There is no other purpose. Well, you say we come here to praise, we come here to pray, we come here to sing. Yes, we do those things. But we don't do those things in remembrance of him. That means if you are doing those things and you are not remembering him, you are just doing an outward formality. What if, sorry to say, huh? I just make this up, the sisters forgot to make bread this morning. And they forgot to go to Albertson's to buy the juice. And we all show up here with no bread and no juice. What are we going to do, Jim? This is the Lord's table. No emblem. And no cup, no bread. What are we going to do? I mean, I'm going to ask you all that question. It's a possibility for something like... In fact, it happened in some cases. Oops. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, sisters say, I thought you were going to bring bread, or I thought you were going to bring the grape juice. And everyone forgot, and scramble, you know. It's a panic time. And, well... I tell you, brothers and sisters, should we not remember the Lord if those physical things are not here? Dear ones, to remember the Lord is a matter of the heart and in the spirit. We need these objects because the Lord did that and he said, do it. Do this in remembrance of me. In the... It was said by some Christian historians that, according to Acts 2 and so on, that in those early days, they actually almost, quote-quote, break bread in this way after a meal. They may have even broken bread two times a day. You know, they ate together, it says, from house to house. I mean, a real meal, right? Just your lunch or dinner. And... somewhat at this dining table after they ate the meal, they just kind of clear out the table and have a bread, a loaf, and some drink there, and they remember the Lord around this dining table. And I don't know what they did. I don't know what they did. They certainly don't have our hymnal. 195, they didn't have that. I don't know, they don't even have the Bible, the New Testament. What were they doing? Brothers and sisters, now I am for going back to the beginning, but I am not just saying, well, we should find out exactly what they do, then we should do that. That's not my point. My point is, that was on Pentecost, that was the 50th day after the Lord resurrected. Am I right?
Right.
I think I'm correct. They were living in the freshness of the Lord. I mean, the Lord was just left them. The Lord just ascended. And so the Lord's among these 120 or and eventually these thousands, the Lord was so real to them. The Lord's living, the Lord's walk, the Lord's doings, and then the Lord's death on the cross, the Lord's resurrection, all those things were so alive, so recent, so fresh. And they were all in this dynamic existence. The Lord is just... So they are there remembering the Lord not as a kind of ritual. They were remembering the Lord just like someone, close loved one or family member just died. You know what I mean? It's not some memorial meeting and that's it. And you bury the person. No, they were living. The church life is living in a living memory of the Lord in a constant basis. Their life is a life of remembering the Lord day and night. So after they eat, they remember the Lord again. You know? I'm talking about that. So, in one church in China, maybe Beijing or some early, you know, when they started the church, it was just a group of students or I don't know whether how old they were, but they have no meeting hall. They have nothing. You know what they did? They eventually have the Lord's table on top of a grave in a cemetery. How about that? So I don't know whether they sang "Up from the Grave He Arose." They. The first Lord's table in the Lord's recovery was three people. Watchman Nee and Mr. and Mrs. Leland Wong. And sorry to say, this brother Leland Wong, who was one of the first co-workers of Watchman Nee, eventually left the recovery. But it was three. One couple and Watchman Nee. And they were in students, and they were in a student housing, probably in some kind of apartment. And there, because they saw the light of leaving the denomination, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and to come together without any name, any association and all that, just simply as believers in oneness to remember the Lord. So they did that, only three of them. And today you can read in the, biography of Watchman Nee by Brother Lee, and there's a record there of what? Of Brother Nee's very, very sweet account of that occasion. You know what he said? This is something that never left me. Never left me. Many years later, maybe 10 years or 15 years later, when Brother Nee recounted that, he said, "I still remember that night." He said, "I remember that the drink was sour and the bread was stale. But heaven was so close to the earth." Have you read that? I love it especially when it's spoken as he did in Chinese. It's almost poetic. It's almost poetic. Brothers and sisters, I long to have that reality recovered in our midst. Dear saints, we should not remember the Lord only at 9:30 on Lord's Day. We should remember the Lord every moment of every day. This is just a declaration. It is an exhibition, right? The Lord says, Paul says, you will display his death, right? Till he comes. There is a kind of display here. There's no doubt. And when we're all together as the church to remember, it means something, of course. But I am talking about not so much the formal side. I am talking about very much the inside, the heart, the spirit, our memory of the Lord. Is it now just restricted to a once in a week occasion? Or do we remember the Lord all the time? When we come to the Lord's table, is our heart here? Is our spirit here? You know, really, actually, this table that we partake of on Lord's Day together here should be just a testimony of how we live every day in the week. Every day. Every day. So, to answer my question, if some saints come together to break bread, if they do this in a rebellious way, you know, they're going to start up their table to counter this table, but then they're wrong, right? Or they do something just for fun, that is wrong. Or just to be different, that's wrong. Or they want to start up a new trend, that is wrong. We shouldn't do that. But if those saints are together and so taken by the memory of the Lord, they want to break the bread and drink the cup, I would join them. Because it's not about that. That is just a overflow. It's about their inner situation. You know, I said somewhere that today we even have a kind of superstitious idea about this bread and wine. You know, I don't know about you, sisters, where you get this. We get our wine from our juice from Albertsons, and in Irvine we have in a number of the districts we long gave up sisters making bread. Because it's very hard to make, and they often crack on the way here, and it's not so good. We don't eat cracked bread. It's very, very important that we don't eat cracked bread. And so we resort to buying matzo. Matzo is unleavened, and you can also go down the aisle in Albertsons, and you can find it. And see, you laugh. But saints, I tell you, we even become so religious and superstitious in these things. I'm not saying that we should not be respectful, okay? But I'm saying we have even it is human nature and the religious nature that forms would quickly overcome or overtake reality. form, at best, should support reality and not replace it. So I know there's some places after the bread, and there's some leftover drink, there's leftover bread. I don't know what you do. In some places, you are not allowed to throw them away. And so they get some poor college student who didn't have breakfast. He didn't have breakfast, and please finish this bread. Thou shalt not trash it. It is holy, you know. And the wine, drink all of it. Now you laugh at all of that. But I'm saying that even in the recovery, we can misaim. You see, we can misaim. So, one time, our brother, in the study of the Chronicles, you know Chronicles, he talks about the different kings. And one of the good kings is, I forgot the name now, one of the good kings. And knocked down and destroyed all the other idolatrous high places and altars and, you know, these things. And rebuilt the priesthood and things like this. And they have the Passover feast, which is a picture of the Lord's table. And the Passover feast is typically how many days? You know, you have the Passover and then the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. It's a week, right? It's a week. So they did that. Oh, the people were rejoicing. They returned to the fountain of living waters. They came back to God. They abandoned the other gods and so forth. And it says that after the 7 days, they were so into it that they decided to have yet another 7 days. I mean, they broke the form. They're not supposed to do that. You should do it only for 7 days, Jim, and that's it. You have to wait for another time to have the Passover. And these guys, they couldn't stop, and they have yet another stage. And Brother Lee said, "What?" He said, "Have you ever had a Lord's table on Lord's Day? It is so joyous, so overflowing, that on Monday you did it again." The Lord's table, he meant. I don't think it has happened yet. What if that happens? Will you go and stop it? I don't think Brother Lee will. He somewhat encouraged it, but not as a new form, but as a real overflow. The joy, the happiness, the exaltation. This is Acts 2. That's what's happening. They couldn't stop. They was doing it every day. So, brothers and sisters, what time is it? 10:50. Huh? 10:50. Okay, so 20 minutes. So I wrote the song. This song is a Lord's Supper song. I call it Remember Me. You know, because he said, do this in remembrance of me. Dear saints, it's all about me. Capital me. So I would also like to say, whenever we come to the Lord's table, we should forget everything except me. Good day, good week, bad week. You just got your pink slip 2 days ago. Forget everything. This is a time not for any other things but me. Amen. Clear out all the thoughts. Forget everything that occupies us. This is the time for me. Amen. He wants us to remember him, meaning that he is afraid that we will forget him. as we are wont to do. Just by Monday morning, oh, not Monday morning, by this afternoon, you have forgotten the Lord already. We're taken over again by life, by the anxieties of life, by our job, family, so many things. So the Lord says, do this in remembrance of me. This is one thing, physical thing, that he charged us to do, that we are going to do it until he comes back. That connects his first coming with his second coming. It's this act, this occasion. So I was very simple based on those places. And I'd like to read it to you first, and I'm going to sing it to you. I don't have a good voice, but you already? Oh, how come I sent it to you? Well, you didn't sing it, right? Okay, all right. Okay, so it's still fresh. Okay. Right. I'm not purveying my song, okay? I'm here to offer a psalm, as the Bible tells us to do. Okay. So in case you don't have it, or do you have it, I will just read. This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. Take, eat, and drink. My death you see. This may be a new line. This shall you do. Remember me. You bless the bread. I make this song into a dialogue. So the first one was the Lord speaking. And this second stanza, I turn it into a responsive speaking from us, which actually is quoting the Lord's own speaking, or what the Lord did. You blessed the bread and broke it too. You took the cup and gave thanks to the covenant made in your blood, bestowed on us forgiveness true. I will not drink this fruit with you until that day I drink with you. When kingdom, this may be a change now, when kingdom of my father's, father apostrophe S, when kingdom of my father's here with joy and love will feast anew. Very simple. This is all the scripture, what the Lord said and what the Lord did. And so I just use the tune to the new tune to the song, Just As I Am. You know, Just As I Am. We have a new tune to it. So you have it. Some of you have it. And yeah, you can just join me so I don't have to sing alone here. This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. Take it and drink, my death you see. This shall you do, remember me. You bless the bread and broke it too. You took the cup and gave thanks to the covenant made in your blood, bestowed on us forgiveness true. I will not drink this fruit with you until that day I drink with you, when kingdom of my Father's here
with joy and love, we'll feast on you.
Okay, I'd like to ask you to change a little bit in the last line. Typically, now we sing, this shall you do, remember me. Okay, this is a later, much later version of this song, which is originally a Scottish folk song from ages ago. And there are many versions of it, but I rather love to sing it this way. This shall you do, remember me, rather than remember me, remember me. Did you get that? You want to follow me? Remember me. Okay? All right. How about we brothers sing it? First one, and then the sisters, verse 2, and then we sing it, the last verse. And how about we imagine the Lord's table is still not over yet? Yes. All right? Or, even if it's over, what's wrong with doing it again? So, let's sing this in remembrance of Him. Amen. My brothers, let's sing.
This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. Take it and drink. My death you see. This shall you do. Remember me.
Sisters.
Forgiveness true, I will not drink this fruit with you until that day I drink with you when kingdom of my Father's here. With joy and love, we'll feast on you.
See, it's hard to change habit. You still sing it the old way.
We'll feast on you. Not we'll feast on you. We'll feast on you.
That we'll feast on you, that's Peter, Paul, and Mary. You know, that's much later. I like the more original tune. And I also would suggest when we sing it, you sing it a little slower rather than so quick. You know, many times when we sing the song, we just rush it. We just rush it and sing it. We hardly masticate. We hardly chew on the words and reflect on it. You know what I mean? That is what will bring out the essence of a song, or the spirit of a hymn that we call. That is another habit we need to change. I actually think we also need a adjustment in the way we sing. It makes a big difference, singing it this way or singing it in that way. Singing it this way, you're just rushing it, you're just getting through it, you just glide over it. But you sing it that way, you sing it, you know, now I remember in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says what? You have to sing with your mind, not just sing with your spirit. I know the song, we will sing to the Lord with our spirit. But here it says, Paul says, sing with your mind, meaning, I think that's what he said, or pray with your mind or something like that. He said, because if you just sing with your spirit, it does not benefit the mind. In other words, it does not give you understanding and therefore edification. So we all need to actually milk the song. We need to suck on the bones. We need to take it slowly. Then we don't need to sing so many songs. We just need to sing a fewer songs, but each one we really get into the depth of it. We really milk it. We really get into the feeling and the essence of that song. And then this way we will be spiritually with a much, much richer content and therefore a much more richer, a richer remembrance of the Lord. All right, so this is my little offering. A long one, excuse me. So I hope this is okay. Every moment.
Amen.
He wants us to do that.
Amen.
And of course, the real remembrance is to eat him and to drink him.
Amen.
Wait a minute,